Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Joe, it's good to be speaking with you today, brother.
Awesome.
What do you got in store for us?
Well, I want to talk to you about a really basic truth about people who put themselves into one category or another. There's only two kinds of people in this world from a financial perspective. I know there's millions and millions of different kinds of people, but from a financial perspective, for this purpose, there's only two kinds of people in the world. And the first kind is the kind that takes their paycheck and they just spend it. They put it in their consumption account, their checking account, and they just write checks and pay their bills and go through their expenses, and then they save what's left over. So those are the spenders. And the second kind is the person who takes money off the top, let's just call it a tenth. They take money off the top and they save first. They put that money aside. They lock it up for our purposes. They just lock it up. They save first and then they spend what's left over. And what I tell my clients is, this is the most important truth you're ever going to hear about finances. The spenders always work for the savers.
There's something interesting there, and I think that most people would overlook it. And it's the fact that you said the savers take a little bit off the top, but you didn't say they take $10, they take $100. You gave a fraction, a percentage. So why? Why not a dollar amount?
So let me go back to the origin on that. When my wife and I got together, we had we met about 35 years old, about 36 years ago, and we had both made financial messes of our lives for different reasons. All right, life gets in the way, and you allow things to crowd out your financial priorities and so forth. And we made a commitment. Our commitment was to God, first of all. Our commitment was to each other. And I'm talking about the things that we do here on earth. So we're Christians. We tithe. We give 10% of our gross to God and to his causes. So after we set that aside, whatever's left, let's call that the 100 that's left, right? And I say, we are going to set aside 10%. So I'm going to be my own best creditor. I'm going to be my own number one customer. I'm going to send 10% of my gross to the Pantosi Family Bank. And no matter what happens, in other words, if the power bill is late and they shut the power off, we're not going to detract from that priority. We get paid first, right? Pay yourself first. Don't pay yourself last. Because when you pay yourself last, there is no money at the end of the month. So people who intend to save at the end of the month run out of money before they run out of month, right? So it's a matter of setting a priority. It's a matter of determining how you're going to think. So this is 36 years ago. We said, we're committed to each other. We're committed to God. We're going to manage our money the way we knew we were supposed to manage our money to begin with. Now we're actually going to do it. So that's what we did. So 36 years ago, we said, we're going to put this money aside. Now I got to be honest and say, we've continued to tithe for 36 years, and we haven't given God much of a raise. We haven't said, well, we're absolutely going to give 11% this year. We give in other ways and shapes and forms. We could talk about that another day. But we have absolutely increased our saving. And we've put money into our capital account. You can call these accounts all different things. Our capital account's really important. But just using the word savings, the generic word savings. We're gonna start out with that. I'm gonna pump up that savings account before I do anything else. And then when I run out of money at the end of the month, my savings account got paid first.
This is something that I think that even business owners struggle with. Do you see the same thing where they're paying all the bills, paying the vendors? What do they call it? Like a plowing back into the company, but the company is never producing any money?
Well, the business owner falls in love with being in business, you know, and they have a shingle and they have a storefront and they have a customer base and they have people who come in and do spend money with them, and they like providing the service or product. They like that whole interaction. That's a culture, right? It's their lifestyle. They love that. But they're also setting up a, what I call a social welfare system for their employees. So who gets paid last, right? And I'm the same way. I don't take a check until my employees get paid. I have to earn the money to make my payroll before I take mine. And the employer is the same way. If they're moral, good, ethical people, they do want to make sure that their employees get paid first. But then they forget something at the other end. Oh yeah, I got into this business not because I love selling widgets and I love making widgets and I love painting them and marketing them and delivering them. I got in the business because I wanted to make some money and create a financial future and have something toward the latter half where I could maybe buy a boat or I could take a few vacations a year and so forth. And people forget that they're in business to make a profit. So even I, as a financial advisor, financial counselor, I have a business coach. And every so often, my business coach says to me, hey, send me your financials.
Ooh.
Send me your profit loss for the last quarter. I'd like to see how you're doing. And sometimes he tears me up because I let my expenses get out of hand because I get excited about buying the next new fancy thing that the vendors are saying, hey, this will help propel your business. This will help your customer. This will help grow revenue. Well, sometimes the thing that I'm buying takes up all the profit and I wind up not making the revenue, right? So we got to get that priority straight. We have to pay ourselves first and put the oxygen mask on ourselves before we put it on our kids, right? We have to make sure that if we're going to be in business, that we're in a business that actually is able to make a profit. It's actually able to be sustainable. It's actually maybe able to be repeatable. Maybe it's a business that we can pass on to the next generation, whether it's employees or family or whomever, but it's a business that's run on sound financial principles, first of which is we have to make a profit.
What do you say to the people out there? Because I can hear it, and maybe I've been one of those people at some point in my life, but 10% or 15% or no, I can't do that. I can't start there. Is there a way to start lower?
Sure. How financially successful do you want to be when you're 75 years old? So you can scrimp now and you can, somebody said to me 40 years ago, literally 40 years ago, hey, you know, when your kid graduates high school, you can give him an empty envelope and say, congratulations on graduating high school. This is your gift for graduating high school. And it's an empty envelope because I didn't save any money for your college because we had all these things happen. You know, we had six kids and we took vacations and we always had food on the table. We paid our rent. We paid our mortgage. We had decent clothes. We gave you good healthcare, but there isn't any more money left over to send you to college. And I'm not saying you should pay for college. I'm just saying if you're of a mind to do that. Some people want to send their kids to trade school. Some people want to support their kids on a mission, right? Everybody's different. It's all depending on your values. But you have to have money and capital in order to support the values that you believe in. And if you say you believe in them, well, then it's probably worth putting some money into that effort. And it starts with savings. It doesn't end with savings, but that's the first rung of the ladder. Sure, start somewhere. You can start with 5%. But look at it another way. What if you were making $50,000 a year and you're working at a widget factory and your boss comes in on Friday afternoon, meets with everybody and says, hey guys, I have good news and bad news. The good news is everybody gets to have a job on Monday. The bad news is you're all taking a 10% pay cut because that's what we're going to need to do to stay in business. Well, you're going to go home on the weekend and you're going to start thinking about this and you're going to say, are you just going to throw the towel in on Monday and say, I'm out of here? Well, maybe you will. Maybe you have another job waiting for you that'll pay you that and more. Well, if you do, then you should go. But if you don't have that job waiting in the wings, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go to work on Monday. I'm going to take the 10% pay cut, and I'm going to do a better job going forward than I was doing before. And I'm going to put myself in a position where I can find another job that's going to pay me more. But in the meantime, what I just shared with you was imposing on yourself a 10% pay cut. If you took a 10% pay cut, it's not going to kill you. You're not going to miss a meal.
It's interesting, right? Because the story you're sharing is about a pay cut, but in my mind, I keep hearing that 10% as a pay increase.
There you go. There you go. Now we'll get this in future episodes, maybe, but because we've established this habit, and I mean it's a habit, you know, it just so happens that the entryway into building wealth and all the investments and companies that we've invested and started off by putting money through my life insurance. So that was the gateway. So I would tell my wife, this is where the money's going. Make sure you pay the life insurance before you pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
Right. I don't care if you're late in the mortgage. They'll get their money. They're not going to kick us out. And by God's grace, we've never been late in the mortgage payment. But there's my priority. We get paid first.
Yeah.
Now, over the years, like I said, we've increased and increased and increased our deposits to our savings account because we see that it's important. We've been able to send my daughter to college without her having to incur debt for her undergraduate degree. We're able to buy cash and finance them through our own family bank because we built up that capital. We're able to buy real estate and sell it at a profit because we could finance the majority of it out of our own family bank. Because you're talking about any kind of investment, any kind of an initiative, any kind of an expense, any kind of direction where you're going to send money, guess what? You're either going to use your own capital and pay yourself back, or you're going to use somebody else's capital and be at their mercy for their terms, their barrier to entry, their qualification, their FICO score, right? So the saver is king at the very fundamental level. So it's not about rate of return at all. And by the way, I learned this probably in the late 80s, 70s to 80s from a gentleman named John Savage, who was a financial advisor in Toledo, Ohio. Wonderful man. It'd be worth it to find his books. He did some amazing things. He loved basketball. He single-handedly ran a basketball camp at his home in the summers. He sent 40% of his entire pay to a particular school in Toledo, Ohio, because he loved kids and he loved basketball. And the only reason he could do that is because he followed his own teaching.
Man, wrapping it up in a pretty little bow, why spenders always work for savers. So, Joe, what do you have coming up for us next time?
Well, now I'm going to give you the other shoe. I'm going to give you the other side of that coin. I'm going to talk about Kiyosaki's viewpoint towards savers. He calls savers losers, right? So, you know, there's a point at which you don't even fog the mirror. You don't even move the needle. You're not even on the playing board, right? You're not on the game board because you can't save a dollar, won't save a dollar, or didn't save a dollar. You got to get there. But now, what do you do with that capital once you start accumulating it? Well, you're not going to build wealth by being a saver. So you can start the process learning how to create wealth by being a saver. Then you have to learn what's actually going to produce wealth. And that gets into how banks really work, how money really works, how compound interest is important or not important. What's more important than compound interest and other things?
Man, I am looking forward to it. So that is a wrap for episode number one. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.